Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Many years ago, we had a family member in my family who had a peculiar nickname. Her nickname was Promise Maker. Now, notice I didn't say Promise Keeper. I said Promise Maker. For you see, this person, this member of the family, loved to make promises. Whenever she would see somebody, she could talk to anybody about anything. She was really extraordinary that way. But the problem is that you never knew when she was talking if she was telling you the truth or not. Or you didn't know if she told the truth, if somehow she would pull it back on a later day. So we called her Promise Maker. Unfortunately, Promise Keepers are what we need, not just promise makers. It's a violation of morality to break promises. And this person did this every day. There was something, she was just compelled when she saw somebody to try to get close to them, to try to make them part of her orbit. And so she would either A, tell them whoppers, or B, she would promise, and promises that she could never keep. Now, our first lesson today has something of the same problem. God comes to Abram and Sarah and says, I promise you. Now, I want you to know that I understand how Abram is going to respond to this. He does not like it at all. And when I was on the receiving end of this person's promises, I didn't like it either. Even when it's God who makes the promise. In Abram's and Sarah's situation, they expected God, who came years and years earlier, he came and showed up and they, who are you? Oh, you're the Lord. Well, let's follow the Lord. And what is the Lord going to do? We're going to get a family. Abram and Sarah have no children. They were barren. And so this visitor promises that Sarah and Abram will have a family. Now, many years go by, and they're almost 100 years old. And they are still waiting for the promise to be kept. So when the Lord shows up, Abram is not all that kind to him. He doesn't really say, oh, well, let's have a welcome party, and let's kill a fatted calf, and let's have the dancers come in and the musicians and have a big party, because at long last, we are going to have a baby. Well, it doesn't happen. Didn't certainly happen that way. And the hope, the dream, the desire, the need to have a family is critical in the ancient Near East. You see, it was essential that you have offspring to take care of you when you're dead. There was the notion, in this is the Old Testament now, the old part of the Old Testament, where when you die, your status in the other world is going to be dependent upon your ancestors who are still alive. And they're alive because if you don't have a family, if you don't have offspring, you have no future. Without family, without offspring, there is no future for you in this. And so Abram, the Lord comes to Abram. Abram is not too ready to be all that happy to see the Lord. And what he does, he then gives a lament. And that we read in this passage in our first lesson. This is a lament. He is angry and sorrowful that God has not fulfilled his promise. Let's take a look at the first lesson. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. Now, isn't there something funny? Did you notice something funny in that first sentence? Take a look at it. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do you get a sense that something's a little screwy? What's that? Yeah. This is the word. The word comes to a vision. Well, no, words come in our ear. We don't make visions, but somehow the writer is trying to tell us something, and what he's trying to tell us, I'm not sure. Except that it must be important because God says it. So the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, but I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Well, by this time, he is not expecting any great reward. He's expecting the member of my family to show up with one of her promises. But the Lord looks at Abram with compassion. And I imagine he sort of nudges him out of the tent and say, look up, Abram, just look up. And Abram looks up, and what does he see? The Milky Way. He sees all the stars of the heavens. And the voice comes to him and says, count them. Oh, Abraham, you brilliant man, count the stars if you can. Because if you can count the stars, then you will know how many your descendants will be. The number of stars in the sky are equivalent to the number of descendants you will have. You will not just have a child now, but all throughout history, there will become children born to you, Abram and Sarah, that you could not begin to imagine now. And you know what? It happened. It happened. Here was Abram and Sarah, no children, and then what happened? She got pregnant and they had a child. That was Isaac. So now they have Abram and Sarah and Isaac, and then Ishmael, and then it goes on and on and on, all the way down to the present, to the place where you and I are part of that long string of descendants. We are part of the great movement of God's people, not just from the beginning of time, but all the way, including our own time. God promised Abram and Sarah that they would have a child. Sometimes it's hard to believe God. Maybe not to you, because you're stronger than me, but I'll just say personally, sometimes I have a hard time believing God. I don't know. You know, it's sort of like if you listen to this woman in my family for all these years, you don't know what is right and what is true and what is good and what you should take seriously and what you should not. And sometimes I feel that way about God. That I'm looking. I'm reaching out. I'm demanding. I'm crying. I'm hoping. I'm needing. Oh God, where are you? Where are you? And so the people who call upon God wait upon God. And if they give a lament, God understands. When Abraham gives a lament, this is a complaint against God. Abram is complaining against God. And what is God's response? He doesn't say, well, you're going to get it if you just shape up. I won't forget you, but you got to settle down. I mean, you got to take things a little bit cooler here, Abram. Just chill, Abram. Are we allowed to say that in church? Can we say that? Just chill. Okay. Just chill. Well, sometimes it's not possible to just chill. And in those times and moments and places in your life, when the promise is there and it seems to make sense, but it doesn't make sense in another level, at some point, the message that God has for us is hard to understand. Now, some of you may understand it. Some of you have had deep encounters with the Lord and deep encounters with the God who cares for us and loves us. And for you, faith maybe comes very easily. I'm glad for that. It doesn't. It never has come very easily for me. And so I'm always waiting with with Abram and Sarah. I'm sitting in the tent with them, waiting for this guy to show up and fulfill the promise that he made. I'm waiting for that promise. I hope you are too. Amen.